52.
All opinions expressed here are the views of the speaker, not necessarily those of their hosts, producers, or owners.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander. Once again, I'd like to welcome our listeners to Socialist Can, 1 hour left. We come on every week where we bring you different subjects and topics that we discuss, and we discuss those topics from a left point of view, from a socialist point of view. With Socialist Can, we have been very much opposed, and I should say socialists are very much opposed to death row sentences here in the United States, and we're opposed to capital murder. And today we have a very special program that we're bringing to you, Justice for Rodney Reed on Texas death row. Today we have his brother, which is coming and speaking on his behalf to join us on the program. Also, we have Alan Mackey. He is on the program with us as well because he is very instrumental as far as giving that support right there in Texas in regards to opposing this death row sentence, this state execution that is scheduled for Rodney Reed. And I'd like to thank Roderick for joining the program, and also Alan Mackey. Thanks for joining the program today.
Thanks for having us.
No. Yeah, thanks for having us.
First of all, I just want to just mention this. This is going back in regards to a capital case, capital murder, that took place in 1996, I believe it is, and much of the evidence is showing that Rodney Reed was falsely accused. It was a rush to judgment in regards to the murder of Stacy Sykes. And I would like for Roderick just to tell us, start out by telling us, what are some of the situations that happened in regards to this case in 1996? What happened in regards to that murder of that young lady, and why there has been a miscarriage of justice where your brother has been charged with that crime?
Well, in 1996, that year, Rodney was he was seeing Stacy Stites. They were sneaking around seeing one another, and at one point, Jimmy Fennell threatened my brother, threatened his life, you know, threatened to kill him if he didn't stop seeing her. But he didn't, and he kept seeing her. And later on, Stacy ended up dead, and a year later, they pinned it on my brother. And right in the beginning, as soon as they found the body and everything, there was evidence that they collected that was never tested, including the murder weapon. The truck she was driving that night was released to Jimmy Fennell days after they didn't run proper tests on it, and it was released right back to him. To me, I believe that's part of the crime scene evidence. It shouldn't have been released until the disposition of this case. But
so this police officer, her fiance, he is potentially a suspect, and
yes,
was and that the truck was part of the crime scene, or what take place in regards to the crime. And are you telling me they released some potential evidence of a vehicle that was used in a crime back to a potential suspect?
Correct. They did that days afterwards. They found DNA in the truck. There was mucus. There was all kinds of stuff inside the truck. But a day or two after they recovered that, they released it back to him without doing further tests and everything on the vehicle. They ran fingerprints and everything. All the fingerprints belonged to Stacy and Jimmy Fennell and other people, but none belonged to Rodney. And they're claiming that he used his vehicle to drop the body off and park it elsewhere. But there was no fingerprints and none of his DNA in that truck. All the DNA in that vehicle pointed to other police officers, Stacy and Jimmy Fennell.
So none of Rodney's DNA was in that truck. Is that correct?
That is very correct. Yes, none of his DNA was in that truck. No fingerprints, no partials, no nothing. But
so the truck that the body was transported in, the body of or the person that was in that truck, which we're talking about, Stacy Stikes, being in that truck, the only other DNA that was associated with that was DNA other than Rodney Reed. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's
so
correct.
Go on, and now they're trying to tie. They were trying to tie your brother to this crime with some type of connection to being there at that particular location. Is that correct? Where her body was dumped?
Yeah, they were trying to tie him to the crime scene and to the vehicle, but they never found any evidence or DNA at the crime scene around the body or in the truck or around the truck that belonged to my brother. Everything belonged to everybody else. The only DNA they ever found of my brother's was the DNA that they found within Stacy Stites. All the DNA outside the body on the crime scene belonged to other people other than my brother.
Now, obviously she was dating a police officer, Jimmy
Correct.
Fennell. Was he ever considered a suspect?
Yes, he was. He was considered a suspect. And they questioned him during this case, and he failed 3 polygraph tests. When it came down to the direct question, did you murder Stacy Stites? He showed deception all 3 times on 3 different polygraph tests. He was a suspect, correct.
So if he was a suspect, now, did the truck belong to him?
Correct.
You do DNA testing. Usually what you don't do is DNA testing with the person that actually is the owner of that vehicle that was part of a crime. And I believe the truck was released to him within a matter of days.
Correct.
We already seem like there was a miscarriage of justice already.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It started out that way and it's continued to be that way, you know, and after him getting the truck, he sold the truck immediately, like the same day or the day after he got it back from the Bastrop County Sheriff's Department. He sold that truck that quick.
How old was this police officer?
Excuse me?
How old was Jimmy Fennell?
Was he older than this
19-year-old girl?
Yes. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was a police officer in Giddings itself. He was a police officer, Giddings police officer, yes, at that time.
What kind of relationship did he have with this young lady?
With Stacy?
Because obviously he was making threats that he was going to kill someone if she continued to see Rodney Reed. What type of relationship did he have with this Stacy, with Stacy Reed, Stacy Stites?
Well, firsthand, I can't say, but from over the years talking to multiple people about this case, including family members and cousins of hers and best friends and everything, all the ones that's been opened up and willing to talk with us and believing what we believe, that Rodney did not murder Stacy. They say he was very controlling and abusive. you know, they say one of her cousins say that night or the night before, I'm not sure, but it's around that time frame that him, Stacy and Jimmy were having an argument out in front of a store, and he came up and it was a very heated argument, and it was, that was a statement given by one of her first cousins. But anyway, they say that the relationship was not good. You know, they say he was very controlling, very abusive, and so there. But firsthand, I couldn't tell you. I've never seen them interact, you know.
One of the things, this happened in 1996, and they said that she would, that 1996, that she was possibly murdered by her fiancé there in Bastrop County, Texas. But the thing is, it says that Rodney was a casual friend and that he had, was last seen with her. When was the last time the police officer had been seen with her?
That night when she ended up dead. He said,
I mean, seen by her when she was alive, I should say.
Well, Jimmy Fennell testified in court that they were home that evening. He was watching TV and whatnot. They were having dinner, relaxing, getting ready for bed because she had to get up early that morning and whatnot. He said, and then they didn't go to bed till like maybe 10 or something, around 10 o'clock or so. But later on, come to find out through medical testing of one of the medical examiners that did the autopsy on JFK, Martin Luther King, Biden, Michael Biden, he claims based on his examination of the autopsy evidence, she was dead long before Jimmy claims she left for work. She was dead maybe around 9 or 10 that evening, you know, which that places her at home with Jimmy at that time. But that testimony, they are trying to deny that testimony and deny testing the DNA, the murder weapon itself. That's what this last hearing was about when the Criminal Court of Appeals denied us to it.
Alan, you have some questions?
Yeah, we should point out that Jimmy Fennell eventually ended up in prison for 10 years for he was a police officer, and a woman that he had arrested, he beat this woman and raped her while she was in police custody. And there's been other accusations that he did similar things.
This was after this was after the murder of Stacy Stites.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
For 10 years.
He got out six months early on good behavior.
Exactly. And you would think because by him being a police officer, one who supposedly uphold the law, you know, protect and serve, their position, if you rape and abduct somebody while on duty doing your job, you should be held way more accountable. Now, if any one of us had raped and abducted somebody like that, we would be looking at a lot more than 10 years. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
You see what I'm saying? And so, therefore, that was not right. You know what I mean? He should have been held to a higher level. He should have got more time because it is your job to do the right thing, to have integrity no matter where you go and what you do, have integrity. And that's doing the right thing without nobody looking. But he had none of that. And so he should be held at a higher accountability. He should have had more time. That's my honest opinion.
I'm looking at just reading some information. It says that Rodney was also denied important DNA testing on several critical pieces of evidence, including a belt that was used to strangle Stacy Stites that has never been tested for DNA. So it was a very slipshod investigation where they didn't even properly do the type of forensics investigation that's necessary on items. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, I've never heard of any case of murder where the murder weapon is found and they do not do testing on it. I've never heard of such a thing. I've never heard of evidence out there that can prove a person's innocence and everything, you know, being just denied time after time, time after time, you know, not getting a fair trial out the gate, all white jury. This has been a nightmare, but just the prosecutorial misconduct in this case alone, you know, on a capital murder case just proves why the death penalty should be abolished, why we should have a group of people to oversee these people in the district attorney's offices. You know what I mean? Somebody should be held accountable, because you can't keep doing, committing crimes against us and not be held accountable for it. And all those are crimes that they did, that they committed against my brother, you know what I mean, and trying to take his life, you know.
I just want to point out, so people understand the nature of capital punishment here in this country. It says, at the present time, 219 inmates are currently on Texas death row. On the average, these inmates have spent 15 years, 9 months on death row. Though 12% of the state's residents are black, 44% of the death row inmates are black. 44%. We're a new track is saying that Texas, when you look at how many people that are presently on death row in that state, is 96 of the 219 that are on death row. California is, it leads the nation in regards to the number of people on death row, which reinstated the death penalty in 1978, has 737 inmates on death row in San Quentin Prison, and about a quarter of the total number of death row inmates in the United States are right there in San Quentin, but only 13 executions have been carried out since 1978. A lot of people don't understand, for every person in California that is executed, it's $230 million per individual, $230 million for every person that's executed. That is how much it costs to house that prisoner, to feed, to pay for the appeals, the prosecution, everything, $230 million per person that's executed. So we can see that putting people to death is big business, and unfortunately, it's the people that they're putting to death are primarily people of color and black. One of the things that you mentioned, it was an all-white jury. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So right away, we know that it started out with no justice. No justice.
Exactly.
You know, in any state, if it's an all-white jury, you're going to get the results that you're looking for. Guilty.
This was the result this was a planned result, Stuart. You had the Good Old Boys Network at work here, and they orchestrated a frame-up of Rodney Reed right from the very beginning. The police,
exactly.
The prosecutor, the judge, I should say judges,
exactly.
And the politicians in the state. And this has been working here in Texas for many, many years. And, you know,
exactly.
The governor and the prosecutor talk about the Texas Rangers investigating and everything. But, you know, the Texas Rangers are a very racist and corrupt organization in and of themselves.
Yes, they are. And
they were a part of this investigation.
Yeah, right. And, you know,
they
should be very concerned about that. And we talk about a democracy. You know, what kind of democracy do we have where everybody knows an innocent man, Rodney Reed, is sitting on death row, scheduled to be put to death on November 20th, when he is totally and completely innocent, framed by this Good Old Boys Club. And,
exactly.
You know, the people have to mobilize to stop this. And the politicians cannot be relied on to do anything because they are a part of this whole frame-up. It's a total frame-up.
People need to understand that in this country is not capital punishment. In the United States, it's capital murder. It's murder by the state. And that's what we have
here. Yes, it is.
Exactly. I'm going to take a very quick brief pause just to let our listeners know that they are tuned in to Socialist Can, 1 hour left. We have a special program today, and our program is Justice for Rodney Reed. He is currently on the Texas death row, and as Alan mentioned, he is scheduled to be executed. But it's up to us. We need to be proactive, and we need to take the initiative to call for justice in regards to this case, because it's a frame-up to execute this black young man, just to cover up for a corrupt police officer. And unfortunately, we have too many corrupt police officers across this country. And then we have the corruption of the criminal justice system, where it has all white jurors to make certain that it guarantees the results in regards to these people when they go and stand before a judge that they are found guilty. So, I just want to move on. When we look at, you had mentioned, Roderick, that your brother, when they were having, doing the for the polygraph, you had mentioned that he had. It says that he failed two polygraph tests on the question of whether he strangled Mrs. Stikes. Miss Stikes.
Yes.
He failed that critical issue.
Yes.
On that very critical issue, he failed. Did you strangle her?
Yes. Yes.
And how was, what did this come up? I know it's not admissible in court, but how was that information processed by the prosecutors that he failed on that critical question?
You know, to tell you the truth, I don't know how it was processed by the prosecutors. I don't know what. All I know is that from the very beginning of this trial, it was unjust. They were breaking the law. They were you know, making people that would be alibi witnesses for Rodney potential witnesses for the prosecution, therefore invoking a gag order on them so they couldn't speak, and they were never called. A lot of his witnesses were never called. There's a whole bunch of stuff that in this case that just went wrong from the beginning. And the DNA evidence that was convicted Rodney, the two sperm head with detached tails, which later on was found out to be old. Then after that, the medical examiner, Robert Biarto, come back and said his testimony was misconstrued, and that was not what he found. And that is the only way they convicted him, based on his testimony, his autopsy, and all that stuff. And then he comes back to say, hey, my testimony was misconstrued. I did not say that, and I don't believe Rodney Reed could. So based on that alone, my brother should be granted a new trial. That's all they convicted him on, was that DNA. There was no fingerprints. There was no eyewitnesses. There was nothing else. And everything else pointed to other people other than my brother, but he still sits in jail. Where in the hell do they do that at? Is where I'm, you know, why? That in itself should have given him a new trial.
Now, you mentioned about the truck. I'm going to go back to this where it says, after quickly gathering several items from Fennell's truck, the police returned the truck to Fennell. He sold it almost immediately. None of the items gathered from the truck were ever DNA tested, including a cigarette lighter that the killer probably handled. As the body of Mrs. Sikes, a non-smoker, bore a fresh cigarette burn. So all of these items were just gone. The prosecution never even bothered to question any of these particular items to have them do the needed forensic DNA testing on it. Is that correct?
That's correct. None of that stuff was DNA tested. And also, at that crime scene, it was never reported, that they found clothing of Miss Sight. Looked like she had packed a bag, different clothing, shoes, a whole bunch of garments and stuff. And it was found in the dumpster at the high school where the truck was found. But that was never brought up. The jury never heard none of that. To me, it sounds like somebody's trying to leave somebody. All their stuff's packed up. But see, that never was never made public. There's a whole bunch of stuff that people don't know and stuff that was not admitted to make the prosecution, look like they are justified in what they do, which really isn't the case. They broke all kind of laws.
Well, it seemed like it was a total rush to judgment. It's a rush to kill, a rush to murder. It says law enforcement made a number of egregious mistakes in investigating Mrs. Sykes' murder. Although Ms. Sykes' fiancé, Fennell, was the leading suspect for many months, the police inexplicably failed to search the couple's apartment, the last place where she was seen alive. They didn't even search the apartment.
Didn't look at one thing.
This is the last place that she is known to have been alive, and then they didn't even bother to even search that or either do any DNA testing in that apartment. He was a suspect, and they failed to do any DNA testing in that apartment, the last place where she was alive, and also with a person that was a suspect in the crime.
Yes.
I mean, something's wrong here. Something is really wrong. I'm not an attorney, but I can figure out something's wrong. And I think where something was wrong, it started out with 12 jurors, all of them being white.
And part of the problem is also that the attorneys representing Rodney Reed were court-appointed attorneys that were probably part of this whole scam to begin with in the frame-up because they were totally incompetent. They could have picked anybody off the street to put up a better defense for Rodney Reed than what these attorneys did, and they were paid, over $100,000.
Yes, exactly.
I think we have to point out that the Reed family is a working class family. They can't go out and hire, these powerful million-dollar attorneys and stuff. And they were entitled to have court-appointed attorneys that were working in Rodney Reed's behalf, not to sit there and allow this to go on in the courtroom. And they didn't put up a proper defense. Anybody can look at this.
They didn't put up a fight at all. They never called any of our witnesses. They never called nothing or no one. We're waiting to be called. People that inside the family that's seen them, friends, people that she worked with, none of the witnesses were ever called to prove the relationship between Rodney and Stacy. They never want to call in those witnesses so they could say that Rodney didn't know her and all this stuff transpired, which is crazy because the whole Bastrop County knows it is one of the most outrageous things that's happened here. And a lot of people are talking about it, white, black, you name it. And, yeah.
I want to ask you, who is this other police officer or other individual, David Hall and Ed Samela? Who are they?
Well,
because I'm reading it says witness testimony and DNA evidence collected at the site where Ms. Stike's body was found points to involvement of Fennell's known associate, David Hall, a Gitling police officer, and Ed Samela, a Bastrop police officer. But it was DNA evidence that was collected showing that other people had been in contact or had DNA evidence that was associated with that crime. Who are those two officers?
Well, David Hall, was Jimmy Finnell's best friend. They were best friends. As a matter of fact, I think they lived in the same apartment complex, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, and Ed Smeller was a Bastrop police officer. He became a detective at one point. And he was well-known in Bastrop, you know. Their DNA was found intermingled with Stacy Stites on beer cans and stuff at the crime scene, but that was never admitted and brought out in front of the jury. None of that. All that stuff was suppressed. And none of that stuff ever came up. Like you said, my brother's defense attorneys, they laid down the whole time. I think they was taking a nap, you know, with their eyes open, because they didn't call nobody, and all this stuff from the beginning was very
Were they public pretenders?
Yeah,
they usually call them public defenders, but were they public pretenders?
Yeah, they was pretending that they gave a slip, but they didn't.
Yeah, okay, because public pretenders, they go to sleep on the job, you know, and they let the prosecution just railroad you.
And that's exactly what they did. So I guess if the shoe fits, they need to wear it, because they, like I said, did nothing. They did nothing. And, you know, it's been a long nightmare for us, you know. And we're fighting, and we're going to continue to fight, and we need people to help us fight, you know what I mean? And if you want to know more about, you know, my brother's case, you could go to readjusticeinitiative.com, look up that website, or you can go to my Facebook page. It's the same thing. It's dedicated to nothing for Rodney. I do nothing personal on those pages. Only reason I do social media is to get my brother's story out there, to make everybody aware of what's going on right here in Bastrop, up under people's noses, what's going on. You know, not just in Bastrop, but all over the state of Texas in these little small rural towns. And so that's what we're trying to do. Reed Justice Initiative, go to that, or Roderick Reed, go to my Facebook page, and that's all we do. And that's where I fight. You can find out what events we're getting ready to have, what we're trying to do, and everything else.
What can people do this Friday?
I'm going to take a very quick pause here. And just let our listeners know that they are tuned into Socialist Cam, 1 hour left. And on our program today, we have Justice for Rodney Reed on Texas death row. Alan, also, I want you just to mention about our program that we have coming up there in Texas in a week and a half. Could you share that with our listeners, Alan?
Yeah, the Socialist Cam is going to have a national meeting at the Live Oak Unitarian Church on Saturday, August 10th, from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. And we invite anybody, you know, that's interested to join with us.
And we'll also be discussing what we're talking about today. We'll be discussing how we can give Addis support in regards to supporting the Reed family and getting getting Rodney Reed, giving him a fair chance at justice. And unfortunately, it's not too much justice in this country, especially when it comes to people of color. Roderick, I noticed also members of the Sykes family, they have come forward because they think that Finnell is guilty of the murder. Is that correct?
That's correct. Back in 2015, one of the major reasons my brother got that stay was because family members of Stacy Stites wrote a letter to the governor asking for him to give a stay, asking for them to give Rodney a fair trial and test all the evidence, because they believe that Stacy was murdered by Jimmy Finnell. That's one of the reasons my brothers got that stay, one of the main reasons. And to this day, they still contact us and, you know, via social media, phone calls and everything, trying to see what all they can do to help, you know, Rodney and Stacy both get justice. Because, see, her murder is still out there. We all know this, you know, and she needs justice as well as Rodney, you know. And so, yes, her family, his cousins, first cousins, there's some uncles and friends have united, and they've, you know, wrote letters. And if you want to see that, that letter is posted on our website. You know, Read Justice Initiative. That letter, you can find it there from the Stites family.
Well, you know,
we have a unique
need to
opportunity
understand
here,
their, what
Stuart,
was that?
We have a unique opportunity here. Usually people can't do anything to stop a murder, but here we have a chance to stop a murder, a state-sponsored murder from taking place. That will be just plain murder if Rodney Reed is put to death, if he's strapped to a gurney and injected.
It is murder.
A lethal injection. It's just plain outright murder. And we have a chance to stop this by people becoming involved right now. And it's very important that people do anything that they can, whether it's make a telephone call, write a letter, come to the demonstration. Maybe Roderick can talk about the demonstration that's going to be on Friday at the governor's mansion.
Yep. I can do that. But first, I would like to say for everybody that, you know, want to try to, you know, there is a petition that you can sign. It's under the Innocence Project, and it's a petition to help save my brother's life. So you can Google the Innocence Project. I don't have their information, but and they have a petition on there that you can go and sign. And then also this Friday we will be at the Capitol. We're going to start about 7:45. We should arrive around 7:45. Get started from 8 to 12. We're out there asking Governor Abbott to look into this case to make sure that justice is done, not just for Rodney, but for Stacey as well, for all of us, because the injustice to one is injustice to us all. So we're asking everybody that can come out there and pick up a sign and help us raise awareness around this crime that's being committed against my brother. And we're also asking people to go to our website and help us, because we're trying to start a tour, which will start next week. We're going to go across Texas trying to raise awareness, and then we're planning to take it across the country. But the only way we can do that is with help from the listeners, people that believe in justice, to help support us, to donate to our cause. So, because we're trying to get it together where we go from New York to California, spread my brother's story, because November 20th is right around the corner. And I believe that all the help that we can get right now, it is very crucial and very much needed.
I'm looking at this Fennell. He really looks like, seem to be an all-out criminal and an all-out liar as well. They say he gave conflicting accounts of where he was on the night of Miss Stites' murder, when
exactly.
She was murdered. And it says he claimed he was at home with Miss Stites, but during a CNN interview, his close friend Curtis Davis claims that Fennell told him that he had been out drinking until the late evening the night Miss Stites was murdered. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the third time we had the last hearing here, they brought him down. He was still incarcerated at that time. They shipped him down. He pled the fifth during that whole, the last hearing that we had here in Bastrop, because we was trying to catch him in just that, his conflicting testimonies. One, he was at home. Next one, he was out with his buddies. Which one was it? You know what I mean? You know, and on a night where something horrific happens like that, you don't forget major details as where you were and what you were doing. You just don't do that.
Let me ask you, was Rodney Reed, was he actually dating Stacey Stites on a regular basis?
They were seeing each other on a regular basis. They were sneaking and seeing each other, trying to keep it on the down low, but Bastrop is such a small town. And once one person gets a whiff of it, then everybody else is going to know. And it was pretty much well known, but they were trying to keep it a hush-hush thing. But, yes, they were having...
What kind of relationship did they have?
Well, it was, you know, I guess, you know... people just, you know, two people just trying to have fun with one another, even though she was involved with somebody else. It wasn't an open relationship where they show public affection and
right.
Front of people, you know, that type thing. But behind closed doors, and they went to certain people's houses and attended certain little get-togethers and stuff as a couple.
But he never showed any abuse toward her, correct?
No, he never did. No.
Right. So I mean, it would seem like it was a caring relationship, even though
yeah.
they were trying to keep it a hidden relationship because of the nature of the town, the city, the area where you live
yeah.
in, just being
exactly.
in Texas, you know.
Yeah,
and of course,
exactly.
that's the same way
exactly.
here in California.
Yeah, they were just you know trying to keep it on the low, you know, and hoping for opportunities in the future. Because from my understanding, from the conversation I had with my brothers before all this stuff jumped off, she was not happy with Jimmy, but she didn't know how to go about just ending it because he helped her do so much and blah, blah, blah. But and I told my brother, I said, at the same time, you got to think about what you're doing. You know what I mean? But he thought, hey, he's a man, he can handle it. And as long as he's, you know, doing the right thing, everything will work out. But apparently it didn't. So that's where we are.
Alan, what other questions do you have that you would like to present to Roderick in regards to this?
Well, maybe you can go through a little bit of Rodney's life. You know, people that I've talked to that know him say that Rodney isn't even capable of doing any kind of crime like this. And I pretty much believe that after meeting Roderick and his mother and his other another brother. It's a you know the Roderick family is a very nice family, and it's terrible to that they have to be put through this. And maybe just explain some of Rodney's how he was you know his life before he was arrested and everything.
Well, basically, we are military brats. My dad was in the United States Air Force. He retired after 30-some years in the military. We lived all over the country on various military installations. Matter of fact, Rodney was born in Oxnard, California, along with his older brother, my older brother, Richard. He was born in Oxnard, California as well. And so we grew up you know, as a close-knit family, we moved from town to town, I mean, from base to base. You know, my parents worked hard to provide for us. They was never rich or nothing like that. My dad was in the military, and so we did pretty well. We were never in any trouble, none of my brothers, growing up, and there's six of us, starting with the oldest, who was Robert. Then there's Ronald, then there's Richard, then there's Rodney, then there's me, Roderick, and Ryan. We all have our names start with R. We all have the same middle and same last name. It's triple R, Roderick Rodell Reed. And so we all have the same middle and last name. Anyway, after my dad retired in Wichita Falls, Texas, and everything, that's where we graduated high school. Rodney graduated high school there. He was very athletic. He played football, you know, was part of the varsity team on, you know, sports and stuff. He was also a Golden Glove boxer, 2 years Texas light heavyweight Golden Glove champ. But he always looked out for everybody else. Rodney was the kind of person that, you know, if he got into any trouble, the trouble was behind trying to help somebody else. You know, he was, you know, he didn't like to see people bullied on, picked on, and stuff like that. So he would take up for the underdog. That's the kind of person Rodney was. And as for me, growing up, Rodney was right over me. And he's the one that helped me learn how to tie my shoes. You know, when I used to get in trouble, get punished because I couldn't quite figure it out. Rodney would spend extra hours with me, teaching me how to tie my shoes. And if I got into any kind of trouble or any kind of situation, Rodney was always there for me because he had a little brother to look after. And he did that from on up until all this stuff jumped off. He's always been there for me. Day one, that's the reason I do what I do for him, because he showed me that kind of love. He showed me, what love is, mm-hmm. brotherly love is. You know what I mean? And so, and that's the reason why I do what I do. That's the reason I'm on this radio show. That's the reason I started those websites. That's the reason I do everything I can to help my brother, because I know the type of person he is, and he's a good person. Nobody's perfect. We've all made mistakes, but he's never convicted. He's never been to penitentiary for nothing in his life until this. He's never been convicted of anything until this. So, and people try to say their stories at him about, this and that. None of that has ever been proven. It was all propaganda to try to paint him into a monster so they could justify in railroading him, But I wanted to be known that my brother is a good man, and he did not do this, and he should not have to suffer for a crime he did not commit. And neither should my family, neither should us. We're suffering right along with him. Every day he's locked up, a part of us is locked up, And people don't understand that,
What type of support are you getting from the Innocence Project in regards to helping you to do the appeals process?
Well, the Innocence Project, they are doing all that they can do according to them, and I talk to them all the time. I just sat down and had a meeting yesterday with one of my brother's attorneys. I talk to them all the time on the phone, and they assure me that they're doing everything and that they can possibly do, and I believe that. But I do also believe that without us on the outside making this noise, bringing his case in a national spotlight where everybody see this crime that's being committed against him, they're going to need all the help they can get, and we're going to need the help we can get, and that support is banding together, helping us, right this terrible wrong that's been going on for 23 years.
Right.
Talk about family values and everything in this country, and what they're doing to the Reed family is a terrible injustice. It makes a mockery of family values. It makes a mockery of democracy, too, because, the people in power refuse to stop this kind of injustice, what does that say about the state of democracy in this country? Anybody that looks at this case, they can see and understand that Rodney Reed has been framed right from the very beginning. They even brought him into the police station under false pretenses, not for the murder, but on other accusations to bring him in and try and trick him. So, right from the very start, there was a frame-up that was planned by these people in the good old boys club.
Yes, it was.
I guess this is more recent that Rodney Reed's lawyers have cited that they have new allegations of sexual misconduct of Jimmy Finnell in their latest appeal. What is this misconduct? Is anything that has just come up recently in regards to this former police officer?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let them do their job. I'm not at liberty really to talk about that, because I don't want to jeopardize my brother's case in no shape, no way.
I understand.
I don't want to tip the hand. I don't want to, I want to let that play out as they designed it. But I do tell you this.
I understand.
That it is a lot going on that a lot of people are not aware of. And I pray that they take the time to get involved and become aware of these things and realize that this kind of injustice has to stop. They're trying to murder my brother, who is innocent. And if they get away with that, who's to say who's next? If they can, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you get. If we keep allowing them to do this, they're going to keep doing it to us. And who is next? One is too many.
Oh.
one.
I think what I see here, this is what Alan brought up earlier, that Fennell, that he served a 10-year sentence in prison for kidnapping and improper sexual activities. So that was the part of what they are looking at bringing up in regards to this former police officer's misconduct. What type of support are you getting? Because obviously something like this is very costly. What type of support are you getting in regards to funding for any type of, as you move forward to get your brother cleared of this?
We are getting funding from people that come on to our website that purchase the shirts that I and my wife, we make. We design them. We make them. We have a website for them, Read Justice Print Works. We get funding through that. We get, that's how we're sustaining ourselves, which we're not doing a good job right now, but one monkey don't stop no show. But we also get support through people that are willing to just go to our GoFundMe page. You know, we have one set up for what we're trying to do so we can continue to do what we need to do to raise awareness for Rodney, for Stacey, for justice, for right. You know what I mean? Like I tell a lot of people, you know, we got into this. It was all about Rodney, but as we spent all these years and got to see all the pain and things that other people are going through, their trials and tribulations, it has greatly moved me and my family to do more than just try to help get Rodney home. Now we want to try to help other people in the same situation. So we got things set up, and we're trying to build on that. But right now, our main focus is saving Rodney's life right now. Don't get it twisted. But we want to do what we can to help anybody else that's going through the same thing, you know.
Right.
By helping Rodney, we help everybody. I said by helping Rodney, we're helping everybody in these circumstances.
And how's that? Because I believe if we help Rodney and justice is done in this case, they're going to have to look at some of these laws that are in these books. They're going to have to change some of these laws. They're going to have to look into the people that we appoint in certain positions and have a organization that oversees these people so they don't get away with these kind of things in the future. We're going to have a hell of a platform to fight for change in the system. By getting him free, getting him exonerated, we can open up the doors for a whole lot of stuff to sit on the table, and they can have a good look with a perfect example sitting right by. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We got to point out that the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, has the power to stay this execution and exonerate Rodney Reed. So the governor has a lot of power in this case and is probably the most important person to focus on. And people should be communicating with Governor Abbott. They should be setting up meetings with him. They should be sending him postcards. They should be calling his office. And we should not let Governor Abbott off the hook. He's got to make a...
We're going to put that on our website and our Facebook page. We'll have our website coming up in a few days and our Facebook page, and ask people to contact Governor Abbott. And we're going to give them his address where they need to send information to let them know that he need to grant him clemency in regards to this. But they need to stay this execution, and people need to actually write letters. I'll be writing my letter to the governor and asking, you know, that he get a stay of execution.
Exactly. And on Reed Justice Initiative, you go to our website, there are different sites that we point you to do just that, to go to the Innocent Project, to sign the petition, to also how to contact Governor Abbott and everything else. Go to that website, and it will take you there as well.
So Reed how Justice can people, what is the best way that people can actually reach you And could you give us your website again? I'm quite certain, Alan, you'll be discussing this in the future, in the short future, on Left of Liberal. So I want you to give how people can be able to tune into Left of Liberal, which it comes on every week. But how can people actually be able to give me those contact numbers again, Roderick?
Well, just go to readjusticeinitiative.com, readjusticeinitiative.com, and it will also link you to my webpage, which is just my name, Roderick Reed. And we have information, GoFundMe, we have everything on there. We have a history of what we've been trying to do, where we're trying to go, and everything else. And that is the official Reed family website. All the rest of the websites are good, and we appreciate everybody doing, but this is the only website that is maintained and operated by the Reed family. And so any donations and proceeds go directly to the Reed family, and we allocate it in the areas that we deem necessary to bring Rodney home.
And, you know, people need to be aware that for centuries they have had lynchings of blacks there in the South, even in Texas. A lot of people know about Waco, Texas, but there have been lynchings, and they're still to this day they have lynchings of blacks in the South. But you have to understand that when we're talking about capital punishment in this country as it pertains to people of color and blacks in this country, those are high-tech lynchings. So we need to speak against it, and we need to close down the death rows of this country. Alan, what is the contact info for Left of Liberal, where people can be able to tune into that?
Roderick's going to be on our program next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time.
Very good.
We'll be talking further about this case, and we'll be talking about putting some pressure on Governor Abbott and what exactly we're going to have to do, because this is I can't stress enough, we got a chance to stop a murder from taking place here. Rodney Reed is going to be murdered. We shouldn't look at this as simply an execution for a crime, because it's not. He's the victim of a racist frame-up, and this is the fact of the matter. Anybody that looks at this case understands that Rodney Reed is a victim of a very pre-planned, premeditated racist frame-up. And this has to be explained to people, and the governor has to take responsibility for this.
Well, I want to thank Roderick for joining the program, and a very important subject that we're dealing with today, justice for Rodney Reed on Texas death row. We look forward to having you back on the program, because we're going to continue our efforts to make certain that he is actually granted a stay, and that we can be able to preserve that precious life. It is a frame-up. Be certain to share this program with other individuals. Share this link so other people can be able to spread this message, which is very important. Again, thank you. Roderick Reed, thank you, Alan, for joining the program. We look forward to having our listeners to join us next week on Socialist Can, 1 hour left. Have a good night.
You're welcome,
again, everyone.
Oh, it's actually next Monday our program is on. I said Tuesday. It's Monday.
Next Monday for Left of Liberal.
Right.
Thanks again, everyone.
Okay, thanks for having us.
Bye.